This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Happy VSiN NFL Betting Guide release day to all who celebrate. Welcome in to the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. We're coming at you from coast to coast as always. Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi out there at his office in Ocean City. Stormy Bonantoni live from downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. We got a lot to get to over the course of the next 2 hours, Michael, but such an exciting day for us here at the network. The comprehensive 84-page NFL Betting Guide is out now.
Lovely. It's awesome. Isn't it great? I mean, the amount of work that went into it, and certainly Adam Burke, Bill AD, Matt Eumanns, whom the man doesn't sleep. He did follow the money this morning. I mean, it's remarkable. You know, everybody that contributed to it is really impressive. I went through it this morning, Stormy. I love your stuff in there. I love how you keep giving Daniel Jones the crap. I love that. I feel like I'm rubbing off on you. It makes me feel good. So it's really good. And I just think, to me, the NFL is a long season, and there's a lot that's happened that I missed some of it. I think you got to really, this is like a summer reading guide. You know, my grandson Dominic has summer homework before he goes into his new school. This is like your summer homework, and you got to make money. You got to spend money to make money. So this is the best thing you can do, and hopefully people enjoy it.
And this is just one of two versions as well that we're going to have of the NFL betting guide, as Adam Burke talked about yesterday when he was on the show. So we have this that gets up in the summer to help just remind everybody where players are at, how the past of certain coaches that are in new spots have been. There's a really interesting article up there. In addition to, Michael, what you have written about the new head coaches this year, following your article, Steve Mackinnon has a breakdown of trends for first-time head coaches, the numbers behind retread head coaches. So pairing kind of your executive-level experience with some of the numbers and stats and trends that are associated with those coaches, I thought was a really cool pairing that we have there. But why was that article, first and foremost? Why was that the thing when you were thinking about how you wanted to contribute to the guide? Why was that the thing that stood out to you most that you wanted to write about?
Well, I think when you look at, let's look at the Houston Texans as an example, right? You know, D'Amico Ryans comes in and he hires Bobby Slovic as his offensive coordinator, right? And so they draft the quarterback, solve the problem. They fix the defense that improved. And they were able to move the football with the quarterback under an offense that was pretty good. So it solved a lot of the problems. And I got to thinking, okay, which coach can solve problems of a team that wasn't as bad? Like, let's take Seattle. One of the worst defenses in football last year, couldn't stop the run. 20-13 at home over the last three seasons. Couldn't win a home game, you know, barely over 500, which isn't good for Seattle and the Legion of Boom in terms of that crowd noise that they experience up there. So, all right, what does Mike McDonald bring? He brings great defense to this to perform. The Seahawks aren't losing because they couldn't move the ball, regardless of who was calling plays. They couldn't stop people from the moving the football. So I think whenever you get that synergy that matches perfectly, the Chargers need toughness. Here comes Jim Harbaugh. I think you have to look at that as saying they could make a difference in the first season. Now, will it sustain itself? That remains to be seen. But I think you'll get a bump, a lift. And that's why I started the conversation off in the article with George Steinbrenner. And he was constantly firing managers because he wanted that bump and he wanted that lift. And, you know, in baseball, it works. In football, you need a little bit more continuity.
And we'll dive deeper into this conversation in the next segment as well. Michael, you just before we started the show posted a poll on your Twitter at @MLombardiNFL asking which first-time head coach will have the most success with their new team. So yes, fans, everybody listening, we are asking you what your thoughts are. If you don't see the head coach you think is going to have the most success listed on the poll, get in the comments as well. Give us reasons why. That'll be a fun conversation we have throughout the course of the show today. As of right now, again, you just posted this a couple minutes ago, but we already have a few hundred votes in here. Mike McDonald so far at 50% of the early 234 votes.
People are listening.
He's the guy right now. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But like I said, this is version
one. I'm shocked that we don't have Bronny. Why isn't Bronny in this poll? How will we not have Bronny in the poll?
We'll save the Bronny talk for a little bit later. Give us a breath. We're starting with NFL for the football betting guide day.
I know. I'm behaving.
Proud of you. But like I said, so this is version Division One after training camps are over and we are like days away, getting closer to the actual NFL season beginning in September. There's going to be another updated version of this guide that is just reminding everybody any preseason training camp injuries that take place, any other movement, things that you should take into account. So this is the guide one, but there will be a 2.0. And I love that you brought up my Daniel Jones bet. So that's one of, I put in three best bets for me, just like things that I think are going to happen this year, essentially, right? And each and every one of our hosts and experts that contributed to the guide, we did a full breakdown of who we think is going to win each division, our wild card picks, who's going to play for the Super Bowl this year. And we gave out some bets that are already in pocket for us. And one of the futures I loved, Michael, was the Daniel Jones prop under 16.5 touchdowns. It is -120. So I know it's not fun to lay juice this time of year, which we'll give some of those, you know, futures betting advice tips a little bit later on. I don't love the idea of laying -120 in June, but I can't help myself looking at that number being 16.5. The dude has only thrown more than 15 touchdown passes once in his career, and it was 5 years ago, Michael. I don't think it's ridiculous saying that a guy who's coming off of not only neck injuries, but a major knee surgery tearing his ACL and a poor offensive line isn't going to have a ton of success again this year. Am I crazy in thinking that?
No, of course you're not. Plus, you know, is the line better? You know, it's so funny. You know, the Giants are happy with Luminor. They're going to play him at guard. Meanwhile, you know, the Raiders feel like they got better when they got rid of Luminor. So, like, what is it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what is it here? You know, so I think you're right. Look, you know, past performance predicts future achievement. I think there's no question about that. And in this case, he's not throwing it. Now you say, well, they have neighbors to throw the ball to. Okay, we'll see. But what happens if they're not playing from in front? What happens if that offensive line isn't as good? And Daniel Jones hasn't averaged over 7 yards per attempt in his career. He is the only quarterback in the history of the NFL who's earned $100 million and has yet to pass for 3,500 yards in a season or throw for 25 touchdown passes. I rest my case.
Insanity. 1-5 last year as a starter, 2 touchdowns, 6 picks with the Giants averaging 11.3 points per game in those games. Actually, when he was off the field, the offense was more productive, and he's failed to throw more than 2 touchdown passes in a single game since 2019. Now I rest my case, Michael. Okay.
19.
Isn't that crazy? Okay. So last couple minutes here. Let's not go Bronny, but let's go NBA draft because there were some pretty interesting results last night. And while I was looking at your Twitter, you seemed to love the coverage last night. You were all about it. Just such a big fan, I see.
It was so bad, Stormy. Come on. And then Elliot reminded me that last year I was complaining about the coverage, too, which at some point, can some TV executive say, who are we producing this show for? If you're watching the NBA draft, OK, you and me are watching it. You bet it. You're fully engaged or you're an NBA fan and you want to hear information about why this player can fit into what you're trying to do. And you want to hear about the trades and you want to hear about the potential trades. You don't want to hear about some kid who's going to give you the background on how good of a player he is. I've never seen, it was a celebration of greatness last. Everybody was great. Now, this guy's great. This guy's great. Meanwhile, Dalton Knott, he's sitting there. Is that how you say his last name?
Connect.
Yeah, Dalton Connect. He's sitting there waiting to get drafted. I'm wondering, okay, can somebody tell me why he's not going earlier in the draft? Like, I watch this guy lead the league, lead the Southeast Conference in scoring. I'm amazed by him. You know, he's scoring points against all these really good players. Well, you know, somebody said, well, he's a little bit older. Well, they don't want older players. What do you mean you don't want older players? I want good players. I don't care how old they are. Well, he's not going to last very long. I'm not going to last very long. Like, seriously, this whole notion, well, we want, yeah, of course I would like to have somebody 19 who's great. But I don't understand how he went 7, but they would explain anything to me. I'm sitting there as a consumer, and all we're doing is just interviewing the player. Like, it's ridiculous. It was so bad, and I got dumber watching it, and I don't want to get dumb watching something.
Well, Michael, and then we had Will Hill texting me last night, too, after Dalton Connect is picked, and he goes up on the stage, and he does the interview with Monica McNutt, and there's no reference of him falling in the draft or asking a question about what has been the biggest storyline of the day, but it's how would your teammates describe you? So now Will Hill, our extraordinaire who covers just about everything, he was even upset about that. The lay of the land, though, just to give credit real quickly where credit is due to our VSiN Hoops betting crew, JVT's mock draft 2.0 that we've been teasing this week goes 11-3, up 8 and a half ish unit profit. Zach Cohen as well, his write up on the website went 4-1. So if you were using all of the content at VSiN.com, you were having success. 1-2-3 ultimately ended up going as the odds indicated with those odds on favorites. Although Woj and his comments on Reed Sheppard got people all out of whack for a minute, thinking you could cash a nice plus money ticket. Ultimately, it goes Zachary Richache to Atlanta, Alex Starr to Washington, Reed Sheppard to Houston, Stephon Castle to San Antonio. And then the first big shakeup was Ron Holland at 5 20-1 tickets cash there. His draft position prop was 11.5. He goes 5. Donovan Klingon falls out of the top 5 despite being a -250 favorite to be a top 5 pick and a draft position of 3.5. He goes 7. And shout out producer Elliot's boy Zach Edey, who creeps his way into the top 10. He goes 9 to Memphis, cashing 15-1 tickets to be a top 10 pick. His position prop was 15.5, goes well under, 6-1 specifically to go number 9. He was also a +120 dog in his matchup prop, which he ends up cashing. And then last but certainly not least, Michael, the 76ers take Jared McCain. And speaking of the coverage, how'd you like them not showing a single highlight of the kid after he gets picked, but there is TikTok videos instead? I feel like we could have handled that a little differently.
Well, and how about somebody asking, like, nobody, you know, here's what I have a problem with. Okay, McCain's a good player. He scored well in the playoff, in the tournament. You know, he can get a shot off. He's a good shooter, all those things. He's 19 years old. I get it all. But the Tennessee, Dalton Kennard, I mean, yeah. He's a kid. Kennard, I mean, I was hoping for him, but I think what happened, the Sixers never thought he was going to be there. Yeah. So they just stuck with their plan. They picked who they wanted. Like, why wouldn't you, we had him then after the draft. Well, he was a top 10 on our board. Well, what was Kennard? What was he? Nobody's asking these questions. Like, can't we find out? We're journalists.
Connect a 30-1 shot to be number 17 to the Lakers. His draft position prop bet down to 7.5, falls 10 spots. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN's NFL betting guide comes out tomorrow, so there's never been a better time to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season. With in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends, you'll have all the tools you need to bet smarter this season. Plus, our experts are sharing their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the season. To get the guide, you must be a VSiN Pro subscriber, though. But if you use our promo code Lombardi, we've got a steal of a deal. Usually the VSiN Pro subscription, $240 a year. You can get it now for $199 when you use that promo code. Plus, we're throwing in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all our special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all year long. Don't miss out on our all new NFL betting guide. Again, it comes out tomorrow. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code Lombardi. That gets you 13 months of VSiN Pro. Time for a little step into my office action. Usually I'm used to just hearing the door creak open, but apparently our open isn't cooperating the way that it normally does. Technology has got us again, but it is time to step into Michael Lombardi's office. And we've got a few people with critical appointments, Michael, guys that need a talking to, some that just need some sage advice.
Do you have my granddaughter on this list? Little granddaughter on this list. Well, we're trying to potty train and it's not going well. So they might send her into my office here for a while. She's smarter than everybody and she can't quite figure it out. So
that's amazing.
I thought she might be on the list today because there's no way I'm having confrontation with her. I give in to her. So there's no sense in sending her in. I'll do whatever she tells me.
Head into the office. Grandpa's the only one that can solve this problem. We'll leave her out of it for now. But appointment number one on the schedule today is going to be JJ Redick, who, as you know, introduced as the Lakers head coach earlier this week. And he had a couple interesting statements at his introductory press conference. So before I get your reaction and your guidance for JJ, let's hear what he had to say.
What misconceptions or concerns about you that you've heard in the last few weeks are you the most like looking forward to dispelling when you're the coach?
It's a valid question. However, I don't really have a great answer for your question because I really don't give a f-. Like, honestly, I want to coach the Lakers. I want to coach the team. I don't want to dispel anything. I don't. I want to become a great coach in the NBA, and I want to win championships, and I want my players to maximize their careers. That's all I care about.
So obviously, Michael, this is the moment that went viral, but what was your reaction to the press conference overall? And when you're talking to JJ in the office, what's most important for him to succeed during his tenure in LA?
I don't think you need to tell anybody what you want to become. You just become it, right? Great coaches don't say they're going to be great. Great coaches become great. And I think you should know that. When Mike Krzyzewski was at Duke, your alma mater, there was a moment where he was on the hot seat. The noise from the outside was so loud to get him fired, but he withstood it because Tom Butters, his athletic director, stood behind him and supported him, which is what you're going to need. Look, you're walking into a very delicate situation. You have to win a championship or you're going to be a failure, because the prior two coaches have gotten the teams to the playoffs, right? I mean, Frank Vogel won in the COVID year. He won a title and he's on the street. Of course, he's collecting a lot of money from both franchises, but he's still on the street. The reality of it is you've got to grow within the role, and you can't start telling the question. It's a great question, but you don't give an F about it. Like, it's seriously, you can't have it both ways. So for me, is like, why don't you just focus on being the best you can? Why don't you start being humble? That's really important. To be a great coach, you got to be humble. And if you're humble, you'll be able to connect with the players, because everybody's going to see your reaction to LeBron. Because LeBron's coming back at a max salary, and everybody's going to watch how you coach LeBron, and that's going to determine how you coach the rest of the team. That should be the question you need to address, not the noise on the outside. Is how are you going to handle your best player or your highest paid player when he doesn't play well? And then the rest of the team sees what you do with him, and then they say, well, you've lost all respect for us. That's the fundamental issue you've got to deal with. And as a young coach, you're going to have to rally. Pat Riley got that right away. It didn't bother Pat. That's the role model you should be. And I would have said that at the press conference. Look, I'm going to look at Pat Riley. I've seen a lot of successful people that have gone from the playing chair to the coaching chair. I'm going to try to emulate them as best I can in my own style, not drop the F-bomb.
The Lakers give Redick a 4-year deal. No Lakers head coach has had the job more than 3 years since Phil Jackson left in 2011. The Lake Show 15-1, sixth on the board in what is a loaded Western Conference. Let's go to hockey here, Michael, because as you were saying to me before the show started, you were all in on Game 7. Oilers star Connor McDavid is in the office next, fresh off falling in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final against the Florida Panthers, despite a postseason for the ages where McDavid rewrote the record books in a handful of categories. He was named just the second skater from a losing team to win the Conn Smythe for postseason MVP. McDavid was a virtual no-show, though, in those final two games of the series. He had 2 shots and 0 points in Game 6 and 7. For a player known to be the best in the world, Michael, what advice would you give him to move forward after those underwhelming performances in the most decisive games of the year?
Well, I wouldn't take it personally, right? I think, Connor, I think you have to understand what the trophy or the cup represents. You know, you have to go back in time, back to the Russell House in Ottawa, Ontario, where they decided, Lord Stanley decided to give out the Stanley Cup to the best team in what they called the Dominion Hockey Cup Challenge. That's how the cup became in place. But what the cup represents is something bigger than just a win. It represents sharing. That's why whoever wins the cup, whatever team wins the cup, only gets to keep it for 100 days. And that's why when the cup goes back to its place at the NHL offices, you have to wear a white glove to handle it. It's a precious commodity. And understanding it's about sharing. It's about everybody plays a part in it. It's really about what the coach said after the game, what Paul Maurice said after the game when he said, I don't feel like I won the cup. I feel like I've got a piece of it. And your piece of the way you played in the finals was good enough. Now we got to get everybody else to take it. So what you have to do is raise your level as much as you can. Next year, you've got to work harder. Next year, you got to put in more time. Everybody knows you're a great player, but they're going to feed off of you. And that sharing is going to be represented by the cup, because that's what the cup represents. It represents everybody gets to drink champagne from the bowl. Everybody gets to hold it. And it's about the team effort. And I think your team effort is going to be predicated on how hard you want to finish the job.
By the way, if you haven't seen them, get on Twitter and look at all the videos of the Florida Panthers celebration, because Connor, if you want some of that, that's exactly what you need to do. This Panthers team, by the way, lost in the Stanley Cup final a year ago right here in Las Vegas in game five, and they clawed all the way back this season to ultimately win the hardest trophy in sports to win. Now, Edmonton, can you do the same after suffering this heartbreak? Now, before our next guest steps into the office, Michael, I do want to preface this by saying I understand coaches getting a little bit defensive with media sometimes when they ask poor questions or don't have tact in certain moments. But what we witnessed in college baseball this week, I think might be a little too much here. Here's Texas A&M's coach Jim Schnachnagel after falling in the College World Series to Tennessee.
I think it's pretty selfish of you to ask me that question, to be honest with you. But I left my family to be the coach at Texas A&M. I took the job at Texas A&M to never take another job again. And that hasn't changed in my mind. That's unfair to talk about something like that. That'd be like you asking Montgomery if he's going to sign in the draft. But I understand you got to ask the question. But I gave up a big part of my life to come take this job. And I've poured every ounce of my soul in this job. And I've given this job every single ounce I can possibly give it. So write that.
So forgive me, I thought that we had the question in there, but it was a very well put question, at least asked about the rumors of the new opening in Texas. Yeah. And what happens less than 24 hours, Michael? He's the new head coach at Texas. How should he have handled this?
Well, I mean, I think he was expecting the University of Texas A&M to come back at him and make him he was the highest paid coach in the conference. I think he expected somebody to say thank you. I think he was expecting someone to say, hey, you know, we're going to extend your deal. Instead, basically, A&M really didn't make any effort. Trev Alberts, the new athletic director, whose buyout was the richest buyout of any athletic director in college football, who makes the most of any athletic director in college football, his job when he came in A&M is to clean up the Jimbo Fisher mess. And really, this him leaving to go to Texas isn't a surprise to anybody, because the Texas athletic director and he are best friends. He hired him at TCU. So really, we know Trev Alberts should have expected this, but they've made no move to prevent the coach from going. Now, he's taking all the heat now, and rightly so. He could have answered the question better, but A&M could have behaved much better. But A&M's in a cost-cutting mode. They don't want to tell anybody. They're going to hire their third base coach to be the head coach. Right? This is all the effect of Jimbo, because they got to get their house in order.
Michael, what I just struggle with in moments like this is that with all of the media that you know you're expected to do as a head coach, you know that this question is going to come. Your PR person tells you this question is going to come.
Sure you do.
There's a way you answer it. That's just not the way you answer it so adamantly.
You don't go to the Robert Sala School of Answering. Don't go to the Robert Sala School of Answering.
You said it perfectly. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the great betting tools and content at VSiN.com. Best bets from hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips, trends, and of course, betting news. Today on the homepage, our resident NBA expert Jonathan Von Tobel has his NBA mock draft 2.0 with all his thoughts on who goes number one overall, best bets, and player position numbers. Plus, even as we enter the dog days of summer, you can find daily betting previews for games in MLB, the WNBA, and more. If you haven't hit up VSiN.com yet, you're missing out. It's your one-stop shop for all things sports betting. Speaking of the NBA draft, by the way, round one begins tonight, and we're going to have in about 15 minutes. The Bronny draft is upon us.
Bronny draft. Yes, where is he going to go? I'm on pins and needles, Stormy. Just tell me, where is he going to go, please? What do you think the over-under is in the first 5 minutes of the show when we talk about Bronny? We're going to talk about it. We got to know where he's going to go. Somebody draft him early, please. I can't believe you told me this, that people are dumb enough to bet that he could be the first pick overall. This is what's wrong with our media coverage, that actually the worldwide leaders pushed him so hard that people actually think he's going to go first in the draft. It's insane.
Michael, you'll be pleased to know.
It drives me nuts. I
wonder if anybody's placing that 30-1 for him to go to the Philadelphia 76ers. That would make you just the happiest man on the planet, wouldn't it?
Oh, that would be so perfect for them to do it. It'd be so perfect for them. It would be the final straw. It would be the final straw. If my buddy gets one of, whenever my friends get a head coaching job in the Knicks, I'm officially resigning. I'll sign a document. I'm done. It's over.
Well,
I didn't mean to start the segment, but I'm so worried about Bronny. I don't know what to do. Where's he going to go, Stormy?
We'll be sure that we ask that obligatory question to Tom Crean when he joins us coming up in about 15 minutes. As well, and we'll get that over under number in the mentions that we're going to get in the first 5 minutes. We have to do
nice.
It.
he's too nice.
For now, though, let's stick with the NFL. A reminder, if you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, when you wake up tomorrow morning, you're going to have our NFL betting guide in your inbox. So head over there, use that promo code Lombardi so that you can get the guide and everything that we have to offer here at VSiN. But in the guide, all of our hosts and NFL experts are giving best bets, picks, and Michael, you specifically have a great, lengthy article that you have gone into talking about all of the new head coaches in the NFL this year. First off here, as we get into this, we're going to do a gridiron Goldilocks for the first time head coaches. But any of these new head coaches, which one of them do you feel is the most poised for success in year one?
Well, the way I measured it, Stormy, was I thought, okay, what does the team need and what does the head coach that they hired provide? Do those two things match? For example, the Chargers, they lacked toughness last year, physical and mental toughness. They couldn't win close games. They mismanaged the game, right? They mismanaged game situations. So what did they do? They hired a guy by the name of Jim Harbaugh, who's very competitive, who's extremely tough, who works extremely hard, who can manage the game effectively, because at the end of the day, all he's ever known was to be a head coach, right? That's all he's ever been in his life as a head coach. So I think it's the perfect marriage. So when their win total's a little lower, you say, wait a minute, that's not going to work. The other team I thought of is Seattle. Seattle has been horrendous defensively over the last 2 years. They have not been very good at home, 20-13 at home, so that's been an issue. And because of their defense, they have lost their home field advantage. I think Mike McDonald answers that question. So that's what the articles are going to talk about. Does this fit? Does it not fit? And it's broken down to seven coaches. Three are coming back for a second stint, although Harbaugh didn't get fired. He left to go to Michigan, whereas Dan Quinn and Raheem Morris both did.
It's awesome. I got a sneak peek of the article this morning, and it's really, really great work, as it always is by you, Michael. But now as we transition into the Gridiron Goldilocks part of this, we are going to talk about first-time head coaches. Since you mentioned Mike McDonald off the hop, let's go to Seattle first. When you look at this season win total sitting at 7.5, based on what you're talking about in the upgrade that he could potentially bring on defense, is this 7.5 win total too high, too low, or just right?
I think it's too low. I mean, look, last year they won 9 games and they had the worst run defense in all of football. Again, they lose to Pittsburgh in week 17 of the season in a must-win game where Pittsburgh with Mason Rudolph at quarterback runs for 200 yards and throws for another 230 yards and scores over 30 points, the first they did all season. So that was a big issue. And I think ultimately what was Pete's downfall, when you look at it, was when he hired Clint Hurt to be his defensive coordinator, it didn't improve the defense for 2 years. You know, he kept having Ken Norton and then Clint Hurt. And I think he was kind of running it, but it killed the defense. And that's why they're 20-13 at home. McDonald will address that issue. He'll get him to play better. Look, he's taken two guys off the street in Javion Clowney and Kyle Van Noy. Both guys were unemployed last August. Van Noy was on the Pat McAfee show with me one segment. I saw them. Next thing I know, they both have 18.5 sacks, and I'm still off the show. So it's like, what's going on here?
That's so good. You also wrote in the article, Mike McDonald, 22-1 might be worth a pizza money play for coach of the year. The favorite in that market, by the way, Matt Eberflus at 9-1, as well as Jim Harbaugh, both at that same number. Similar situation going from an older, established, long tenured head coach to a young coach in New England for the first time in more than 24 years. Bill Belichick is not in the building. I know his tenure ended with back to back seasons, not in the playoffs. It was 4 wins a year ago. still really hard to be the guy after the guy. That season win total sitting at 4.5. Some questions at the quarterback position as well. When you look at that number, too high, too low, or just right?
I think it's just right. I really do. I think it's perfectly set. And here's why. I think for them to win more than 4.5, you're counting on their defense to be really good. Right, you're counting on that defense. They played 8 games last year where they held their opponent to 21 points or under. They won 2 of them. Are they going to be that good on defense next year? Because the mastermind of the defense, the guy who was running the defense as he was running everything, left. Now, you're saying DeMarcus Covington's going to be able to fill in for Belichick and not need Belichick by his side to help him. I'm not buying that. Mayo's not going to help him. Mayo didn't coordinate the defense. Mayo's in charge of team morale and making sure everybody's happy. He's not in charge of any specific area. He's there to offset the Belichick era, which is everybody's going to be positive. Everything's going to be great because it was too negative around here before. So, what you're saying is if you bet that 4.5 over total is, forget the rookie quarterback. You're saying that Covington's going to do as good a job as they did last year on defense. I'm not willing to go there.
Okay.
Which leads me to want to bet the under at 4.5, which is 4. Because I think offensively, you know, you got Brissett. You got a really bad offensive line that doesn't have any answers right now as we look at it in terms of the tackle position. So the tackle position, the skill position is a concern. And then, of course, the quarterback.
If you do think 4 is the limit, you're getting plus money on the under that 4.5 win total at plus 135 in Gerard Mayo's first year. The Carolina Panthers were the worst team in football a year ago with just 2 wins. Of course, they were not rewarded with that number one overall pick as it was traded to the Chicago Bears because they got their number one pick a season ago in Bryce Young, who finished his rookie season with 11 touchdowns, 10 picks, was sacked 62 times in 16 starts. Dave Canales steps in for Frank Reich. This win total has been bet up from 4.5 to 5.5, where it currently sits, too high, too low, or just right for Canales?
I think it's a tad too high. I think 5 would be a great year for them. Although, look, let's be clear here. Any improvement, anything they do is going to be an improvement over Frank Wright. I don't know if Frank Wright officially announced his retirement before he signed his Panther contract or the day after, because they were poorly coached last year from the beginning of the year that I said it. I wasn't second guessing. I was first guessing on them last year. They look disorganized, out of sorts. Now, I think Canales will do a better job. How much better, that I don't know. And I think at least now everybody's aligned to Canales in terms of headed in the right direction. Plus, you know, let's be clear. If you're going to bet the over total here, you're counting on New Orleans, Atlanta, and Tampa Bay not being great teams. And I think that's right. I don't think any of them are great teams. I think they all have weaknesses within them, and Carolina has them too. Remember, Carolina beat Houston in a game in Carolina when Houston wasn't what we think they are today, but they were healthy and C.J. Stroud played for them.
Let's hit you with one more before we close it out. Mike Vrabel out, Brian Callahan, former Bengals OC, in as the head coach for the Tennessee Titans. Their win total 6.5, too high, too low, or just right?
I think it's just right. I'm not ready to buy. I think one of the things that I've not done a good job on this offseason is really give Mike Vrabel his due as a coach. And I think Brian walks into a really tough spot. They hired Brian to fill in, to basically make Will Levis a great player. And I just don't see that. I'm going to be honest. I don't see Will Levis turning the corner. And I could be proven wrong, but I think he's too inconsistent. I think it's going to be a hard job. I think to get over 7 wins is going to be really hard for them.
I'll also throw in for the difficulty for Will Levis between college and the NFL. He's learning his 4th offense in 4 years as well. Not exactly an easy thing mentally to stand up from.
Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Our all-new VSiN NFL Betting Guide is out now and is jam-packed with everything you need to bet this NFL season. We've got in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends you won't find anywhere else. And of course, our experts have weighed in with their best bets on season win totals, futures, props, and more. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or you're somebody who's just getting started, this guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. And to celebrate the release of the guide, we're going all out today. Expert NFL analysis, insider tips, and insight to help you bet. Start betting the season strong. VSiN.com/guide is how you can get your copy of the all-new NFL betting guide today. Again, that's VSiN.com/guide.
My favorite time of the week. And we got a special edition of a storm warning. We got a special storm coming. This is all football betting guide related. So with that as a backdrop, I want to see my favorite fan base, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Chicago Bears. Everybody loves to bet on those teams. Nobody is more enthusiastic about betting but the Bears fans and certainly the Steelers. But you have some advice for the audiences to avoid that trap.
So, Michael, I will never dog anybody for wanting to bet their favorite team to win the Super Bowl. Have your fun, play whatever you want to do. But if you want to have success long term, you've got to eliminate the bias, right? Bet with your head, not with your heart. And that goes whether you're betting on a team or player or against one, right? You're going to feel better about your bet if it's backed by reason and research. And just like we were talking about a moment ago with Mike Somich on the program, he mentioned that he likes Jared Goff to win NFL MVP. You don't have to think that Goff is Mahomes and believe that he's the best player in the league to think that 40-1 is probably a little bit too long for that wager, considering the situation that he has in Detroit. We talk about how good he is not having to play outside. They only have 3 true outdoor games all season long. Last year, 2nd in passing, 3rd in yards per game, 4th in touchdowns, 5th in completion percentage. They make the NFC Championship game and are probably going to be better this year. 40-1 feels like a stretch. We talked yesterday about the Bo Nix pick. Matt Brown and Femi Abebefe both wrote up him at 18-1 for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Matt Brown summed it up great in the guide. Quote, "What my personal opinion is of Bo Nix and how good he can be in the NFL is irrelevant to this discussion. This bet is about price and opportunity." And I just think overall, it's a good reminder as humans, we can get caught up a little bit in perception and what we want to have happen instead of the reality sometimes of what actually is likely to happen.
Great, great, great advice. And carry that over to every part of your life, but especially in the betting world, is sometimes we have to have an open mind leads us to an open betting book. And we think of things in a different way, because as the great Bill Walsh said, if we're all thinking alike, no one's thinking. So we're 10 weeks away from the kickoff of the regular season. It'll get here faster than we all think it will, right? There's only so much sun and beach we can handle. So what's the best way bettors should take advantage of this downtime?
Yeah, I mean, some people think that the NFL season starts in September, and that's just laughable because we all know it started back in February and March already. So while we still have another month before training camps and time before we get to those day one, week one games, use your summertime wisely. Use this time to research, dive into the schedule, get caught up in who's where across the league, and recognize actionable trends as well. Going through the guide, some really interesting nuggets here. Rookie quarterbacks, for example, in recent history tend to have slow starts. According to Steve Mackinnon, over the last 21 week 1-3 games, rookie QBs 2-18-1 straight up, 5-15-1 against the spread, averaging 16.6 points per game. So look at Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Bo Nix. Those early schedules, not gauntlets, but rookie quarterbacks with 2 of their first 3 games all on the road. Remember these nuggets. Find these trends in awards markets. Look at criteria and awards history. We talk about the comeback player of the year criteria changing this year. We have a little bit of guidance. Use that to eliminate players from who you might have in consideration. Christian McCaffrey is the 2nd shortest shot to repeat for offensive player of the year this year. When's the last time there was a repeat winner in that market? Marshall Faulk, 1/4 century ago. These things don't happen. MVPs go to quarterbacks. Like, know some of this information, criteria for awards markets. Now is the time for you to dive deep in your research before the season starts.
And you do a great job of researching because you're sitting there on the sideline of college football every week. And how long does it take you to prepare for a college game that you're going to be sideline reporting on?
It takes a hot minute, Michael. And we do all this preliminary preseason preparation to get ready. Mm-hmm. But for me during the year, like, I'll do my game on Saturday and I'll find out my game on Sunday. So while I'm watching all of the games for the NFL, I am like diving into everything that I can get mm-hmm. in my wheelhouse as fast as possible, and doing my summer research ahead of time and having my like Cliff Notes versions helps me get a head start. So absolutely important.
Yeah. So we talk about betting future markets all the time here on VSiN, and we look at lines down the road, week one. Of course, you just mentioned all the MVP and all the award odds that won't pay off until January mm-hmm. or February. So, and there's, you know, there's no way you could just go play games. But what is the caveat? What is the best way to be prepared to tie your money up for a long time?
Yeah, you know, we're always talking here on VSiN about the importance of bankroll management, right? And don't, you know, bet a certain figure if you don't feel comfortable losing that amount of money. Well, it's the same concept in futures. If you don't feel comfortable not being able to access funds or cash a ticket in some cases until December or later, maybe these markets aren't for you. Or at the very least, you need to have the awareness that you should potentially limit how many futures bets you're placing so that you have the cash flow you need once we're in season. Also, if you're placing bets this early, I would recommend trying to find more of those bang for your buck type bets when possible. It's probably not the most satisfying feeling in the world in June to be laying a minus 150 or a super heavy tax price for certain markets if you're unable to cash that ticket for a really long time. And as a reminder as well, like we talked about with Mike Somich, you can bet futures in season two once you have a better feel for a team, a player, or a division.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing a little more research once the game starts. So we're at VSiN. We recommend betting with DraftKings, obviously, but we encourage weighing other options before placing a bet. Tell us why that is so important, Stormy.
So, I mean, line shopping in general is vital. Having multiple applications for you to find the best number is so important. And there's a great breakdown in the guide from our own Matt Williams giving tips for attacking prop markets. But one of the nuggets on line shopping I thought was excellent was detailing how significant this can be for bettors over time as you're betting regularly. So here's the Cliff Notes version. If you're a $100 bettor that makes 100 bets, you win 60 of them. At minus 110 odds, you're profiting just shy of $1,500. If you're placing those same bets at minus 130, it's a $615 profit. Significant difference. You're placing those same 100 bets at minus 150, you're just breaking even in the market. And I think from a futures conceptual perspective as well, as we look at a lot of these plus money type bets, right? We talk about Mike McDonald for Coach of the Year. If you see one sportsbook has 18 to 1, $100 to make 1,800, that sounds great. But what if you could get 22 to 1? What if you could get 25 to 1 at another sportsbook? So having that resource at your disposal, it's just one click to go from app to app. It's very quickly and easy. It's an easy thing for anyone to do anytime. Have those different applications at your beck and call so that you can find the best number available. Because in the short term, you might think, oh, minus 110, minus 120, that's not that big of a difference. Over time, it's significant.
Yeah, no question. Okay, so while the numbers change, NFL futures will still be posted throughout the season, and you're encouraging our audience to prepare accordingly.
Yeah, again, this was another conversation that Mike Somich talked about with the Arizona Cardinals and how he is targeting. He likes the one version of the season win total early on, but he thinks that there's an opportunity for a middle in the season. For me, I think that it's great now while we have this time to research, as we reference, to plan for certain situational spots and in-season season futures. For example, I love the Los Angeles Rams this year. I like them to make the playoffs at plus 120, but the bet I like the most is over 8.5 wins. I don't want to lay minus 155 right now. So you look at their schedule, and while yes, their schedule is obviously baked into these prices, the Rams open the season with road games at Detroit and at San Francisco in two of their first three games of the season. Even though, again, the schedule is baked in, I think we're going to have perception and recency bias that could drive the juice of that price down a little bit if they start out 1-2 or 2-3, 2-3 like they have the last 2 years in terms of their early starts. I think instead of maybe -155, that creeps down -130, -120 in that range. And you're getting a better price on the same bet. And something that Matt Brown and I were talking about this weekend on The Handle was you can just set a little reminder in your calendar, like after week three, check in on this team and just remind yourself about certain opportunities to bet.
I love it. And that's so good because you're going to get numbers. I mean, we talked about it during the NBA playoffs, right? You may get a better number for Boston once Dallas won a game. Great advice. Great job, Stormy. It's all good. Love it.
Thanks, Michael. I want us all to have success this season, right? I want us to have fun betting the NFL, get ahead of some good numbers, cash some tickets. Okay, you hear that music. Hour one is in the books. Boy, did this go by fast. One more to go as our VSiN NFL Betting Guide release edition of the Lombardi Line continues. Get your votes in for the poll. Plenty more coming up next. Don't wait until fall.